Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
It's a wonderful pleasure to come here and see you guys share the Word of God and worship. We don't have much time, so I'm going to have to shorten my message. There are a few things I want to say. First of all, listen to the last message that Pastor Ray has preached online. Go to www.livingwaterradio.com. www.livingwaterradio.com. The sermon is titled The Language of Prayer. I don't know how long they'll be playing it, but they're playing it every 2 hours. Pastor Ray Greenlee is one of those men that I respect the Lord, who truly has a walk with God. And like I said many times, he and his wife have been one of my spiritual mothers and fathers. And they're a blessing. One of these days they'll be here. The Lord, last time I saw them, they said that the Lord put on their heart that they should come to Boston and visit the school, talk to you guys. So, listen, the reason I wanted you to listen to it is, especially those of you who have been walking with God for a while, is that he shares some very critical things about his own experience with prayer that I think is very critical for any person. But anyone, everyone should listen to it whenever you have time. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you today about freedom. America is called the land of the free, right? The home of the brave. And it was more true back when that saying was first born than it is today. Today people talk about freedom a lot. You hear someone say, well, I'm free to do this, I'm free to do this. This is a free country. We've got free speech. We've got a right for free association. We've got this freedom right and the other freedom right. We even have animals' freedom right. But we want to look at what exactly is freedom. Are people truly free? I'm sure that if you look around, you'll find that many people are not free. They're bound. They are prisoners suffering in iron chains. What makes a person not be free? What are these iron chains? What are these iron chains that can bind a person? The first one is in Romans 7. Romans chapter 7, starting from verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desires. For apart from law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me and through the commandment put me to death. So the law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. In order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment sin might be utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Look here for a second. What is the Apostle Paul saying? To sum it up, he's saying that people are slaves to sin. The worst slavery a man can have is the slavery of sin. No slave master has ever held his slaves in as cruel a bondage as sin holds his captives. Sin holds people. So you hear a person say, "Hey, don't talk to me about God. I want to be free to do whatever I want to do." But are you really free? You see the same person bound to drugs and he can't break it off. Is he really free? You hear the person say, "Hey," like someone told a sister and I, we went out to talk to people about the Lord. She said, "I don't want to come to God because I don't want these constraining rules." She says, "You want to be independent and free." But is she really free? When someone comes and steps on her toes, she will get angry and she won't help it. She won't have the power but to curse, to speak back against them, to hold a grudge. And she will have no power to forgive that other person. Is she really free? Some of you have been slave to bitterness for years. Someone did something to you 5 years ago. To this day, when that person is coming this other way, something in you rises up and say, "I don't want to see him." Bound to sin. Some people are bound to pornography. You go back to the same computer over and over. And you watch it, and it kills you, and somewhere you know that it's producing death. Oh yeah, people cover it up with many excuses. Well, that's just how biologically we're created. It's a basic need of life. No, it's slavery. It's the slavery of sin. It's the chains of sin. Some people really want to. I mean, they really love their wives. I mean, they really just want to do them good. Oh, but when they see them, before they know, the curse comes out. The harshness comes out. Some wives really want to be nice to their husbands. But before they know, he's getting under your skin. And you can't help but be bitter, angry. That's the slavery of sin. There are others who are slaves to alcohol. I mean, they really don't want to do it. But every week, this week they go to it, they drink the same week, the next week they take the same, they do the same thing. And the thing about the slavery of sin is that it applies to everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're old or young, whether you're educated or not. If we look into your life, there is a sin that holds you captive. My freshman year, there was a class, one of the classes I was taking, I won't name which one so you won't be able to track down who I'm talking about. But we went to class and then they gave us homeworks, problem sets. And there were often errors in the homework solutions. So at the recitation, we asked the TA why he said that the homework solution have so much mistakes in there. He said, well, the professor writes the solutions to them, and you never know if he's sober when he does them. People were shocked. Someone told me, come on, he's an MIT professor. I told him the MIT professorship does not deliver someone from the slavery of sin. You can accumulate diplomas. They don't change your heart. Some people think education will really make the world better. If only people were just a little more educated, the problem of the world is ignorance. No, the problem of the world is sin. When you educate a sinner, you only give him some means by which he can sin more efficiently. That is, he sins while being better able to hide it. I mean, he can put on the professorship face that hides the fact that he's bound to alcohol. His diploma has only given him a way to dissimulate, to camouflage his sins. But those who know God and know the Bible know that behind every man there's that slavery of sin, and it holds people tight. And for some people, it goes on for all of life. I've told you I used to think that if I go to a nursing home, I don't have to preach on sexual immorality. But I went there once, one of the last times I was there, and one of the most immoral, sexually immoral and violence mixed movies was going on the TV. I was talking to a woman, and then this old man mumbles something semi-angrily. Very frustrated, I looked at him, and then it took me a few seconds, I realized he was telling me to get out of his way because I was standing between him and the television. What started probably in his teenager, the lust, has continued till now in his dying days. The slavery of sin applies to every person, young, old, black, white, Asians. That's why there should be no division. That's why I don't understand why our church is divided in races. I've said it again and again, and maybe to some of you it's starting to sound like a song. But the Bible shows that the problem of men, of any man, is sin. And I believe wherever there is a minister who truly addresses the problems of men, the real problem of men in his congregation, there will be people of all races. Those of you who have been here know the kinds of people who have been coming here. It has not been an African church or a black church because I, the pastor, am black. When it is the house of God, when it is truly a place where the problems of men are addressed, all people will be there. Because those who truly want to deal with their problems will come there. Those who truly want to get rid of sin will come there. Those who are looking for blackness, sure, will not come. Those who are looking for whiteness will not come. Those who are looking for Asianness, too bad. But those who are hungry for Jesus, those who know that their problem is sin, and know that there the Holy Spirit is and deals with people's sin, will run there. That's why we've said over and over, the one thing we guarantee you here is that we offer you Jesus. He has sent us here to address the problem of this campus and of this city, which is sin. Racism being one of those. So Paul says, sorry, I just lost my page here. Let me go back. Yeah. He says, therefore, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. The law of God is good. If you follow the Ten Commandments, if you had followed the Ten Commandments since you were born, your life will be much better off. Those commandments are meant for the good of the world. Name me one single problem in the world, any problem, and I will track it down to someone who broke one of the Ten Commandments. Every problem. Show me one problem in your family, in your life, I will trace it down to someone breaking one of the Ten Commandments. The law of God is good. The fact that everywhere in the world, people know that murder is wrong, that adultery is wrong, that stealing someone else's wife or someone else's car or pot or pen, I don't know, is wrong. Testify to the fact that the law of God is good through all time, through all races, and in all places. Therefore, though we know that the law of God is good, even when people say, I don't believe the Bible, their conscience still agrees that breaking the Ten Commandments is wrong. However, the fact that we agree that it is right and that we nevertheless break those commandments brings up this full sinfulness of sin. That is, the fact that sin takes what is good to produce something wrong in you shows how awful sin is. The fact that it takes these commands of God, which were meant for our good, and causes you to sin, shows how sinful sin really is. That is, this sin is not just a mistake like people like to say. It is an active agent, an active bondage, an active slavery that comes over you, especially because, or specifically because, God set forth those commandments. If God had not had set any commandments, there will be no such thing as sin. But these commandments which were made for our good, which were given for our good, now becomes the means by which sin expresses itself, therefore showing how awful sin is. So let me move from theology and ask you today, well, how is it with you? What's your bondage to sin? What is that thing that you've been doing for the last 15 years that you again did last week? What's this thing that you've been doing for the last 15 years that you did this morning? Which sin is binding you? The other bondage before I move there, please go with me to John chapter 8. Verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, before I make my point, let me just comment on this. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said. He was speaking this to people who had believed in him already. And he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Showing that Jesus was not looking for believers. He was looking for disciples who hold to his teaching. Many people today believe in Jesus, but very few are his disciples who hold to his teachings. Many believe in him. That doesn't differentiate you too much from the devil who also believes in Jesus. The devil knows that Jesus is and that he died on the cross to save sinners. He knows that very well. I can preach it well. He probably understands it, this whole deal, better than you do. He understands it from the spiritual side of it, maybe better than you would ever be able to explain it. But Jesus is looking for better than that. He's looking for people who hold to his teachings. Those are his disciples. In the early church, disciples was the word that the believers used to talk about those who followed Jesus. The word Christians came later as a nickname. In fact, as an insult from those who were outside the church. The believers called themselves disciples, and it was understood that a disciple of Jesus is one who holds to his teachings. Therefore, what is holding to his teaching? Holding to his teachings means obeying his commandments. Because he said in the last chapter of Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. A disciple is one who holds to the teachings of Jesus. He said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? From sin. Verse 33, then they answered him, we are Abraham's descendant and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Which was not true, because they were slaves in Egypt and they were currently under Roman occupation. But Jesus said, verse 34, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but the son belongs to it forever. So if the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin, the Bible says. This is God's verdict. This is Jesus' verdict on every man. Every person who sins is a slave to sin. But he says, if the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed. What is Jesus trying to say? He's trying to say that there are many apparent solutions. There are many apparent solutions. Some people say, just try to better yourself. Just improve yourself. Just work hard at it. Some people say, try praying 5 times a day. Which most of them don't do. Some people say, here is this new psychology book, 7 ways to help yourself out of trouble. Others say, here, come, I have a seminar. If you come to my seminar, you do this 40-day thing. You go through this 40-day study, you come out of it better. And I've seen people go through those counseling psychology trick sometimes mixed with the Bible. And they get better for 3 months. And after that, they're worse than they were before. If the Son of Man sets you free, then you will be free indeed. There is only one person who sets free from sin. That is Jesus, because He died on the cross, and on the cross took the sins of people, and on the cross disarmed the devil and robbed him of the power that he had over men. So now there is a hope for people to be set free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man goes to the Father except by me. When you come to Jesus, the truth, He will set you free. Knowing Him sets a man free from sin. And as we've been saying all along, those who know Him seek Him. To know Him, you ought to seek Him. Those who seek Him honestly find Him. And those who find Him are delivered from their sins. Freedom and deliverance is in the person of Jesus. I do not care whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's not loving your brother, your sister, your husband, or your wife. Jesus sets free. As we've said so many times, we have nothing else to offer you but to turn to Jesus. It sounds simple, but Paul told the Galatians, let no one turn you away from the simplicity of Christ. Let no man turn you away from the simplicity of Christ. The gospel is simple. Have Jesus, and that's it. Have Jesus, and He will set you free from your sin. The only trouble is that some people just don't want Jesus to do that to them. But then we can't help you either. Besides praying that God will put in you a hunger to be freed from your sin. The other bondage that people can be in is the bondage of diseases. Go with me to Acts. Chapter 10. Verse 37. Let's read it in context. Let's read it from verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accept men from every nation who fear Him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, healing every person. Jesus not only sets us free from our sins, but He also sets us free from our diseases. Why? Because disease came into the world because of sin. If there were no sin, there will be no disease. One of these days we will study that, and I'll show it to you from the Word of God, from Genesis all the way to the New Testament. But we say today that the disease is the curse, is one of the curses that came into the world because of sin. And throughout the Bible, disease and sin are related. Go to Isaiah. Sorry, today we're hopping from book to book. But I believe in people seeing for themselves what the Bible says and letting the Word of God speak for itself. Isaiah chapter 53, starting from verse 3. This is written 700 years before Jesus was born. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, or the word there in the original language is carried our pains. And we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Our iniquities, also our infirmities. Our sorrows, our pains, as well as our sins. By his wounds we are healed. Because he died, he carried in his body all diseases. I do not care what your disease is, what your condition is. Jesus took it on the cross. Look at chapter 52, verse 14. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. That's how bad Jesus was beaten on the cross. That's how bad he looked. In other words, he looked so bad you wouldn't have been able to tell he was still a human being. Because he was carrying our sins and also carrying the weight of our diseases. The problem is that many Christians, when it comes to their sins, you ask them, how can you be forgiven? They'll be quick to say, oh yeah, because Jesus died, our sins are forgiven. True, we believe that part. He carried our iniquities. But in the other part that says he took our infirmities, for that one we say, well, we're not quite sure. David says, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not His goodness. He who heals my diseases, heals all of my diseases and forgive all of my sins. Sin diseases, always related in the scriptures. The problem is that Christians believe God for one, but for the sins to be forgiven. Some don't even believe for being delivered, but at least they believe for being forgiven of your sins. But when it comes to the diseases, they say, well, we believe the doctor's better. Now, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, right? By all means, if God sent you there, go. But even when you go to the doctor, it is God who eventually heals you. Many have gone to the doctors and died in spite of that. Believe the Lord. I want to challenge you to believe all of God's word. When the Bible says it, believe it. And put God's word to the test. Give Him an opportunity to fail. Trust and believe Him. The only thing that stands in the way is unbelief. The only way that stands in the way is unbelief. People don't believe that Jesus can set them free from the slavery of sin, and they don't believe He can set them free from their diseases either. Believe the Lord and put Him to the test. I know a woman. I'm not the kind of person, if you were to know my heart, I'm not the kind of person who just believes stories. I'm naturally very skeptical. I question everything when I was a child. People say, don't go there. I say, why? They say, well, for this and that. I'm like, that doesn't sound like a right reason for me not to go there. I'm going to go. I just don't believe things. Even if you haven't told me, oh, a miracle happened here, I ask you, are you really sure? Did it really happen? How did you see it? But I know of a person who had AIDS with 3 tests showing she was positive and whom Jesus healed. A person who became a Christian partly from my sharing the gospel with her when I was 15 years old. I don't have the time to tell the whole story, but I have her email, phone number for anyone who wants to go check. And the story is such that if you want to research it, you will find that she was healed. That she was really sick and was really healed. And I've seen the Lord heal others. There is hope in the Lord, no matter what your situation is. Believe Him and accept what He did on the cross for you. Lastly, I also want to say that people are under the bondage of satanic forces, under the bondage of demons. It manifests in several ways. It can affect your mind. It can even put diseases in your body. It can cause you to behave in certain ways, even when you don't want to. This is one of the most common, it's a very common form of bondage that people have to, but they just don't know it. Many people are under the bondage of demons. Have you wondered why some people just don't change? Sometimes enough to trying so hard. For many of them, there is a spirit behind that holds them captive. You'll see that in the ministry of Jesus, constantly people who were demon oppressed or demon possessed came to Him. And so was it in the early church. Why was it so common then? Is it because people back then were just messed up? Of course not. The devil that was at work then and his demons that were at work then are still at work today. It's just that nowadays Christians have become way too ignorant and undereducated on this matter, that they don't realize the working of Satan in their own lives. What in your home, what in your life has been the work of demons? Those of you who are here, some of you who are here, know when that we prayed for someone out of whom about 16 wicked spirits came out. This was again one of those things that if you just tell me, I'm not going to believe you. If I were not firsthand involved in it, and I've never seen anything like it before, and I've not seen anything like it since then. Where clear demonic spirits identified themselves and told us, I mean, were speaking back to us, and were being commanded to live by the name of Jesus. And we saw them tremble and be scared at the name of Jesus and at the sight of those who walk with God. What in your life has been? You hear people say, hey, I'm just hearing voices. At night I see things. Those, many of those are works of demons. Of course now they send you to the psychiatrists. Often get very concerned when I hear people are getting sent to the psychiatrist, because most of the time what they really need is ministry of deliverance. A girl was just telling me recently that, yeah, she's going to start seeing the psychiatrist because of depression and stuff. I told her, most of the people I know who have gone that path, who go to the mental health to seek help, only get worse afterwards. I don't know a single person, or maybe you do, but I don't know a single person who has gone there and came out of it better. If the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed, once and forever. Seek the Lord. When you have not found an explanation for your sin, for your disease, for things happening in your life, when it's not due to your own irresponsibility, when it's not due to someone else's irresponsibility, prayerfully consider whether it's not the work of demons, and if you do not need to be prayed for deliverance. We'll end by give me a minute here. Let me show you where in the Bible this, well, one of the passages that just summarizes all this well. Go to 1 John chapter 3. That's the last thing we'll read. First John chapter 3 from verse 4. 1 John is one of the last few books in the Bible. The fourth or the fifth last book. 1 John chapter 3, from verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. Notice that doesn't say so he might just cover them, but actually take them away from us. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. He takes away our sins and he destroys the works of the devil. He takes away our sins and it destroys the work of the devil in your life. What has been your sin? What's your disease? What is your... In what way is the devil oppressing your life? There's one answer, and that's the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He sets you free from all three of those. There also are the things that he sets us free from. But today I wanted to talk about these three because they are the most common form of bondages in people's lives. Paul says to the Galatians, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." You, my brothers, were called to be free. And to the Corinthians he says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." If you're struggling with sin and you need help, you need someone to pray for you, talk to one of us at the end. Grab someone, say, "Hey, let's pray," and ask Jesus to break this into my life. If you have a disease that you need freedom from, ask someone to pray for you also, that you will be freed because Jesus sets you free. If there is demon oppression in your life, if there are works of Satan in your life, also ask someone. If the whole church needs to pray for you, we will pray for you. But do not let the blood of Jesus go in vain that was shed to set you free. If he died for your sins, if he died to take away your sins, let that freedom become yours, so that his blood will not be in vain for you. If there is a disease, and if it is true that Jesus died for your disease and took up your infirmities and your sorrows, then do not let that blood go in vain either. If there are works of Satan in your life, and it is true that Jesus died for you to have freedom over those, then do not let that blood go in vain either. Praise the Lord.